Welcome to Dear Nina, Conversations About Friendship. I'm your host, Nina Badson. I'm a writer who has been focused on friendship since 2014. In that time, I have seen some patterns on different issues that come up for people, and I get anonymous letters. A lot of those I use in my Substack newsletter called Conversations About Friendship, but just to make things complicated, it's at dearnina.substack.com. Or if you were just in Substack and you searched conversations about friendship, it would come up. People write anonymous questions in my Facebook group, Dear Nina, the group. And we're seeing a lot of complicated friendship dilemmas come up there. And while each situation is different, there are always patterns that come up. And so I have based these monthly friendship challenges on those patterns. We are ready for the February challenge. Today's episode unveils that challenge with an interview that will help us with this challenge. But first, I need to say, even if you're hearing this in the future, hello, listeners of the near and far future, this challenge and January's challenge will improve your friendships. That will be true in every single month. And it doesn't matter when you start. It's not like each one will take a full month either. So let's say you're just hearing this now. You could listen to the January one, or I'm just going to tell you right now what the January one was, and you should get right to it. Doesn't matter if right now it's April and you're hearing this for the first time. I do keep a thread for each challenge in that Facebook group, and you'd find that by going to Dear Nina, the group in Facebook. You have to search that, or it's in the show notes of every single episode. There'll always be a link. And for people who are just not into Facebook anymore, I know a lot of you are out there, I'll always have it in the newsletter too, and you can comment on the post that says February challenge. And you can always email me if you just want accountability and you want to let someone know, I did it. I did January. I did February. And as we go on, my email address is ninabadzin@gmail.com. B-A-D-Z-I-N. Really quick to review, the January challenge was to see a friend in person this month, or whatever month you're starting, which of course means that each of us had to reach out to someone to make a plan. To quote myself, I'm going to quote myself from January. I said, in a healthy, robust social life, or at least a deeply fulfilling one where you feel like you can be yourself, there's less keeping score, less keeping track, less waiting for invitations, less worrying about how you will be judged, and less moralizing about who should have included you. You, dear listener, are in charge. You will do the including. And that statement is completely applicable to the February challenge as well. The February challenge is to start a friendship ritual or tradition with one or more friends. Now, I have some very key points that we need to discuss before you hear the interview and before you go forth with this challenge. I hear from a lot of people who feel that they need to start over with making friends, or they moved, or they never feel like they had close friends where they live. And so when you hear something like start a ritual, start a tradition, you may be like, well, I don't have any close friends. And that's the point. These rituals and traditions are sometimes the thing that creates close friendships. In my interview today with Rachel Winter and Rachel Simon, you will hear some examples of rituals between longtime friends, some examples with newer friends. I will share some of my own with people who are now longtime friends, but they weren't when we started the tradition. This is a challenge that can help you make closer bonds with people who are in your life in some capacity, maybe really loosely in your life. And also, it's a great way to maintain close friendships. So maybe you have friends you do feel close to, but you wish you saw them more, or you wish you had something special to look forward to. I think this is a great challenge to start a friendship tradition or ritual with one friend or more. It could be a group thing. You will hear me realize in this episode, as I listen to Rachel and Rachel talk, that I myself had a tradition I wanted to start having to do with winter birthdays. And I just want to say, because I'm recording this intro after the fact, that I did do it. So Rachel and Rachel, if you're listening to this now, I did start that birthday tradition. I followed my own advice about making plans, which I've written about in the newsletter, is a post called How to Make Plans with Your Friends, something like that. And I did an episode with that same title. It was one of my most popular episodes. And I was really clear in there that when you reach out to make plans with somebody, you do not just say, hey, do you want to get together? Send dates. Always send dates. It helps skip a step. I love when people do that. When somebody says to me, let's get together to walk, or let's get together for breakfast, when they don't send dates, I'm like, well, now am I supposed to send the dates? Whose job is it to dive into the calendar, which is a lot of work, and send the dates? I think it's the person personally who is suggesting the activity. So if you are going to be the person to say, let's do something for winter birthdays, which is something I just did, do it with the dates. And winter birthday is just a placeholder for whatever ritual and tradition you're going to suggest. The example of the winter birthday, it kind of begs the question, well, okay, I started it for this year. What about next year? Listen, this is kind of the attitude I have in all my episodes and in life. I'm going to do it. Unless someone else happens to beat me to the punch, great. But I'm not going to sit around and be like, well, I started it last year. Somebody else in the winter birthday crew should really send out the text this time. No, that's not my attitude. My attitude is I'm the one who wanted this to happen. It was important to me. And everyone was game for it. Great. But honestly, it might not be as important to them. I will probably be the one to send out that text in November and say, all right, second annual winter birthday is on the horizon. Here are some dates. It is not your problem to worry if the other person wants to do it or not. You send the dates out. And if they either can't or don't want to, they will find a way to make that clear. You just be the one who invites and creates the opportunities and the outings that you yourself want to do. No testing your friends. No saying, well, why didn't they start it? Or why don't they do it this year? I did it last year. You want it to happen. You make it happen. And I promise you are going to be so much happier that way. And one more note on why you need friendship rituals and why they will help you. A ritual, a tradition, they help solidify new friendships, help maintain existing ones like we discussed. There's all this anticipation. It's not even often about the actual activity you're doing. It's the anticipation ahead of time. You're securing a spot on your calendar. You know that there's something actually fun or meaningful coming up, almost like a holiday. And it doesn't have to be literally Friendsgiving, which is an example we do talk about later in the episode. It doesn't have to literally be Galentine's Day that are associated with holidays. Make up your own thing. Could be something really basic like I did with the winter birthday one, like just a group text. And be inclusive. This is a time, especially if it's a new one, this is maybe a time to add people that you don't see as often, because that's kind of part of the point, to deepen connections with people that may even just be casual friends or people you don't see as much as you would like to see. You could be really inclusive from the get-go. And then over time, people who just aren't into it, they will fall off naturally. That actually can be a tricky thing. If you have like a big, huge list, one example used in the episode is a hiking group. Over time, if a few people, let's say, never come, do you take them off the group text? I don't have a great answer to that. That's a hard one. I actually did an entire episode just about group texts and the trickiness of that. The other time a ritual tradition can get tricky is when it really is too big to be functional. So sometimes traveling can be that. It seemed like a good idea, but you all went and it's way too many people. Even a dinner out. I'm in a local Facebook group where I see people looking to plan certain events out and 100 people say, yeah, I want to do that. And then it's like, okay, you're not going out to dinner with 100 people. So I want you to really be mindful when you're thinking about what ritual or tradition that you might want to start with some friends. That balance between being inclusive, but also it being small enough that you can really talk to people. Report back all the different ways. I'll have them in the show notes, the Facebook group, the Substack newsletter, which will go out soon after this episode airs. Just emailing me. I want to hear, what did you start? I would love to put together a post and an episode maybe a few months from now to report, not by name, I won't use your name. Just want to know, what did you put together? Let me tell you about today's guests, author Rachel Steinman and Rachel Winter, who are here to give inspiration. They have been friends since they were 18 years old. They got closer as the years went on throughout adulthood. They are both accomplished and interesting women on their own. And together they co-wrote Stay Golden Girls, a gift book about the importance of women's friendships. Rachel Winter is a director and Academy Award nominated producer for Dallas Buyers Club. Along with LeBron James, she produced Shooting Star. She has produced and directed all kinds of other things with very famous people. And I'm not even going to go through it all right here, but it will be in the show notes. Rachel Steinman is a writer, teacher, and mental health educator. She hosts the Dear Family podcast with inspirational guests who have overcome mental health obstacles to thrive. You will find that and a link to their book in the show notes, which I know is in boutiques all over LA and online, of course. We all kind of look like cousins on this episode. Welcome, Rachel S. and Rachel W. So glad to have you here.
So excited to be here.
Thank you for having us.
I always connect with fellow friendship enthusiasts. I really appreciate that the two of you see how important it is to make time for our friends. And I wanted us to talk specifically about rituals. There's big ones, small ones, and then there's sometimes issues with them that I'm going to get to later that I didn't tell you about ahead of time because I thought it'd be fun to do that on the fly. I would love to first hear about some of the rituals in your lives, whether they're in the book or not. We will start with Rachel S. so people know who's talking.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel S. or Rachel Steinman. There are so many rituals in friendship, and Rachel and I have a bunch, which we can talk about. But I'm just going to tell you about a ritual that I have that actually does not involve Rachel. A Friendsgiving ritual, probably one of the most consistent things I've ever had in my life, because it started the year I met my husband. It was either when we were 25 or 26. We still kind of scratch our head and try to figure it out. But that is more than half of my life. This started back when there wasn't even such a thing as Friendsgiving. A bunch of us got together and did a Thanksgiving dinner. And this is my husband's friends from college. Eventually, all their significant others who have become my best friends. We have this really beautiful group. And this was before any of us were even married. Cut to 2024. We're about to celebrate. I'm not sure if this is our 27th. We're still a little unsure, but we continue to do it without our kids. We look forward to it every single year. It's been more consistent than even my family Thanksgivings that have changed from year to year, and we just never miss it. And now that we have kids that are coming home from college and we're picking them up and all of that, we've moved it from the Wednesday night to the Tuesday night so that we can pick our kids up from the airport. But we make sure that it happens. And we say that like even the food might even be better than our Thanksgiving.
Who hosts? How does that get decided?
So whoever hosts makes the turkey and it trades off. I fortunately kind of get out of hosting because I host my Thanksgiving, and it used to be back to back, and it just was too much to have two big parties back to back. I will say, even during the pandemic, we did it. It was the one year we didn't have turkey. We had pizza, but we did it outside, but we did it.
It speaks to a big strength of rituals and traditions is the anticipation of it. Who's hosting? Who's making what this year? Is it going to be a different decoration? Or do we have to change the day? I mean, there's a lot of discussion. The ritual is never just the day. The ritual is everything leading up to the day. Rachel W., did you have one in mind to share?
Yeah, I'm going to share one that does include Rachel because clearly she means more to me than I mean her. So we're both Jewish. And even though I'm married to a non-Jew, we are raising our family Jewish. But who doesn't love Christmas? So every year for, I think it must be about 10 years running, we go to Mammoth. Rachel and her husband and her two girls, my family, my husband and my two kids, and then our other bestie, Kim, and her husband and their dogs. Sometimes we collect orphans along the way, like another friend will come up, and we celebrate in Mammoth with a tree and decorating the tree. It is one of the most fantastic rituals and traditions that I have in my life. We have the best time, of course, tons of laughter. And I think it's become just very special for our families because there's the tradition of Christmas, but then there's the ritual of all of us being together and celebrating in this way.
So you have to tell me, where is Mammoth from LA? I'm in Minnesota, so I don't even know where you're talking about.
Mammoth Lakes, California is about a 4-hour drive. Depends on who's driving, but if I'm driving, it can even be shorter.
So travel is another huge ritual that requires a lot of planning, a lot of anticipation. And it's nice when it's always the same place. I'm thinking about Rachel S. and the Friendsgiving. It's nice when it's always the same time of year. Like, it's something you can count on. That is the point, from a friendship perspective, of a ritual. If a ritual is supposed to help us maintain our friendships and celebrate them, but also keep us in each other's lives, having something where you don't have to constantly be rethinking it is really helpful.
We mentioned that in our book, that sometimes planning for the girls' trip or planning for girls' night out, who's wearing what, where are we going, what's the plan? It's always part of the fun, but sometimes it's even more fun.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of times that's true. The actual being there is sometimes loud. This is like, says a lot about me. I love being with my friends, but I have a real introverted side and I hate not being able to hear. A girls' night out, for example, we're all in the group text sort of equally discussing. Then you get to the place, but you really can only talk to or hear the people who are like right in front of you.
Right.
And then there's all these other people and you're like, oh, we didn't even interact necessarily.
We've noticed that for our group birthdays, when we try to pick a place now, we're trying to look for a place that has a round table.
Love a round
table. Because it is so nice to be able to see everyone. It makes such a difference. I mean, yes, we like speaking to our friend on the left and right, but then you're missing half the conversation.
We have a particularly loud group, by the
yes.
way. Wait, you are screaming, but oh well, I can hear you.
So with your friends, even though it's funny, off our recording, I told both Rachels that I don't like to get to particular individual friendships, because I don't always think that's applicable to the larger audience. But I do want to point out something I listened to when the two of you were on Rachel S's podcast together. I think it's really nice that you met when you were 18, but you talk about how you didn't get close till later. And I have that too with several of my very close friends. And this idea that you can only have a really special longstanding friendship if it started early is just wrong. You can make new friends. But I'm curious, with that in mind, the rest of your group, did they also come from college or was it later? How did you add the other ones in?
Rach, why don't you take it?
I'm a little bit of the sort of Jane come lately, because Rachel did grow up with a handful of these now women that I met in college. The group has kind of grown. So I'm an example of that. So some of these girls went to grade school and then, of course, through high school and then college, remained friends, and they're part of this group. I met most of these women in college. You know, it's interesting. I think it, speaking about new friends as well. So on some level, Rachel would be more considered a new friend because we met at 18 years old, where, you know, I just went on a mother-daughter weekend with my best friend since I was 5 and our mothers, who are also best friends. That's the classic old friend from childhood. But as you point out, growing together and getting to know each other as a more adult version of yourself has its benefits, because you're really investing your time and energy into someone who looks at the world similarly. So the person that you've been pals with since you're 5 or 6 years old, it's like nothing else. There's no doubt. But on the other hand, a person that you choose to foster that relationship with, I think it automatically says, we have a lot in common. We look at the world the same way. You make me laugh my butt off as a grown-up.
A quick word from a dear sponsor of the Dear Nina podcast. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Something I've talked about before, I am not the friend people call when they're trying to figure out what to wear. I get overwhelmed with all the different choices, and I want to experiment with other styles and fits. I also don't like to waste money. I don't want to invest in something that I only want to wear once. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothes for all different occasions, a night out, you're packing for a conference or a trip with friends. Maybe you need something for an event and you don't want to have to worry that this is going to be some big investment and you better really love it and wear it all the time. This is the beauty. You can wear it once. If you actually felt great in it, it's like a test run and you can buy it at a discount at that point. Right now, Dear Nina listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off, 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dear Nina. That is Armoire, Armoire.style/Dear Nina to get that 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
That's right. You know, people write me anonymous letters. I answer some of them on my Substack newsletter and in my Facebook group. Often the theme is about loneliness, of course, which I know you touch on in your book, which is always the context to talking about friendship. I say all the time, it is never too late. So yeah, you guys met at 18, but got closer later. I mean, you can meet a new friend in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It's all about your attitude. I am always open to new good quality friends. If you have the attitude that you could always be connecting with someone who aligns with your interests right now, that's so powerful.
Rachel and I have been doing book events and speaking to groups of women about friendship. The older women often will come up to us and say, it's hard for me to make friends, or I don't really need any more friends now. Or we recognize that when you're younger, it's much easier to make friends, whether you're in school or new job or whatever.
Your parents are scheduling for you.
Right, right. It's still so important. I love that you said that, to be open. We just don't know. A future best friend could be sitting next to us, regardless of how old we are.
It was a real surprise for us that when we would do these book talks or folks would read our book and have conversations with us about it, the amount of women, we had a conversation with 22-year-olds, we had a conversation with 75-year-olds, and more than a few women in their 40s say to us, How do I make new friends? We did a second edition of our book. We expanded our chapter that was called New Friends into New Friends, How to Make Them, How to Keep Them. I think women are really looking for ways to either deepen their existing relationships because they're reprioritizing how the importance of that, or also some guidance. How do I put myself out there and show that vulnerability?
So I've done a lot of episodes on making friends, but what I think is so key about this particular topic, we're going to explore a little more on the rituals and the traditions. I think it is a key to keeping friends. A key. It is a key because big ones and small ones. So we talked about a couple of big rituals, the trip, the Friendsgiving. And then you mentioned, Rachel W., the trip you have with your mom and your daughter. And I would call that like a big ritual. I think the small ones are also really important. When you have a newer friend, it takes courage. But I would encourage people, I guess the word courage can encourage are together, to suggest a ritual. So it might be a weekly walk, it might be walking your dog at the same time around the week. And it may also be that it doesn't actually happen every week. I have this with a friend of mine. We always say we walk every Saturday. We actually don't walk every Saturday, but we intend to walk every Saturday. And so we both have it on our mind before we each make another plan to either walk with someone else. If we're both available, it's like we know that we are going to walk with each other. And she lives pretty close to me. It's just something nice that we like to even say, like, oh, we walk on Saturdays. You could suggest that to a friend, maybe, and give them an out that says, like, I understand if you have other things, that's fine. But what if we took this one class every Tuesday morning? It takes courage, though, because somebody has to be the first one to make the suggestion.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have a little hiking text thread. So there are four women on it. Rach, I was thinking about the fact one of the four women who are on this text thread, obviously me and Rach, we're two of the four, but one of them is a woman who's our age, and she was at one of our book events, and she had said, how do I make new friends? And so she's on our hiking thread because she...
Oh, that was generous of you guys.
And so now she's become a new friend. This is what we do. We have to connect each other and include each other. And
the group text is so important. I love the hiking one. This is a great example because, first of all, it's fine if it's just two of you. So that I like that there's four. You have four of you on the text. Great example for people. And I talked many times on this podcast about Mahjong. It's another good example. You could just have a big group text for it. Let's say there's eight people on it. It's fine if just three people show up. Four obviously is ideal. You can play with three. But the hiking, if just two of you come, fine. And that's something you can be really inclusive about. You can keep adding people because let's say six people come. So you'll hike in little pairs. And maybe you mix it up. Are there any other small traditions or rituals we could suggest to people?
We have a mutual friend, Allie, who is really, really good with keeping us together. We call her Julie McCoy. Rachel, why don't you explain what that reference is? Because
I know the love boat, okay, but yes, let's explain it.
Just in case.
Julie McCoy was the cruise director of the show from the 80s, The Love Boat. And so Allie is our Julie. When the birthday text threads go around, she organizes the gift. She organizes the restaurant. She's the best in the world at this.
God bless Julie. No, everybody needs to appreciate the Julies in their life. If you don't have a Julie in your orbit, maybe it needs to be you. I'm telling listeners
That's
out there.
Right.
People don't like to hear that.
You need to step up, you know?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what we laugh about Allie is that she's so busy. She has five kids, yet she's able to do this. I would say just the small rituals. It's really nice to know that when your birthday comes around, you have a group of people that are doing for you as you are doing for them. We've been doing this for many years now. It's a beautiful thing. And I didn't realize how important it was until that first birthday came around. And I was like, oh, this is really nice to know that I'm not just giving to others. They're coming. It's just, yeah. It's like a mutual community thing. It's a small ritual getting together for a birthday, but it's very meaningful.
Some rituals, by the way, come about very organically. So we're sort of talking about being purposeful about it, but I want to also let people know that that doesn't always have to be so purposeful. I'll give you two examples from my life. They're actually with the same couple. The State Fair in Minnesota is like a big deal. I'm not from here originally. I'm from Chicago. But when I moved here, we went with a very new couple friend of ours, Nancy and Craig. I'm going to shout out Nancy and Craig. We didn't know them that well necessarily, but we did this thing together and we had fun. And so then when the next year State Fair came along, it's not like we said to each other, let's go to the State Fair every year together for 20 years. Nobody had that conversation. It just has happened. And we have gone to the State Fair together every year for probably 20 years. At a certain point, maybe 10 years into it, I think it was a more clear conversation of, okay, I guess this is something we're doing. This has become a tradition. And we've also had a New Year's tradition, which it doesn't work out every year. Sometimes people are out of town or whatever, but we have tried to have fondue on New Year's and we've been doing like 20 years. So that's in some ways a smaller ritual because this isn't like a big trip. It isn't something like that, but it does happen regularly. And it's something to look forward to. I wish I could think of other small ones in my life, but I'll tell you one that's lacking hearing you guys talk. My birthday's on December 30th, which is like the worst time ever. I feel like my birthday usually comes and goes with very little anything. And then maybe I feel less excited about doing anyone's birthday. Really, I got to really address that. I'm going to really think about that, you guys.
It's interesting. Believe me. So Allie's birthday is December 31st. What we end up doing often is combining birthdays.
Okay.
So because it's too hard to get everyone individually. And so we'll often do two or three of us at once.
I'm telling you this right now, I'm right here. Because there's at least three of us, maybe even four, who have winter birthdays. And I'm really big on pushing people to be the cruise director. I am generally, but not high level as Allie, but I really am like, don't wait around for people to plan stuff. I'm going to plan the winter birthday thing to get this started, as God is my witness, Rachel and Rachel, also as my witnesses.
I love it.
Used for God. So that's like a That's so great. You have to follow up with us.
I will.
Know how that goes. That's amazing. You know, just to kind of cap off, I would say, so there's this restaurant in Los Angeles called Stanley's, very famous for their Chinese chicken salad and their Toll House chocolate chip cookie pie, which they serve warm with a side of ice cream. One of our rituals, the last minute call to action lunch, is always at Stanley's. And Allie will literally come from, she lives in the city, we live in the valley. She's like, I'm there. That's definitely a ritual. Those are easy peasy. It's like, you don't even need to, it's like our cheers, you know.
Yeah, same place, same, you know, you don't, like we were saying before, like you don't have to always constantly be planning something extravagant. Right. I'm just watching the Martha Stewart documentary, that era of everything having to be, you know, DIY and so over the top. Like, yeah, you could just go to the same restaurant, order the same thing. One other small ritual I want to mention before we get on to a really difficult piece of rituals and traditions that I want you guys to help me noodle out a little bit. And that is, I've been seeing this all over TikTok, and it's this Waffle Wednesday. And it's this thing where people decide on Wednesdays, I have no idea what the waffle has to do with it, that they're going to have some sort of like FaceTime call with their friends or check in. Maybe it's a time that they use WhatsApp and do voice memos, or some people use Voxer, some people use Marco Polo, which is video apps. Everybody sort of checks in on Wednesdays. And it's younger people. I'm seeing this really people in their 20s, it seems like. And I thought that was just very nice. I loved seeing that.
You're telling me something I don't know, and I absolutely love that. That is so great. I'm going to have to ask my girls. Yeah, I love it. Mm. Waffle Wednesday.
So something that is an implied issue, I think it's even been implied in this episode without us saying it. Rituals are great. Traditions are great. Groups are great. Doing stuff one-on-one, like my walk I have on Saturdays. What happens when somebody kind of wants in? And you don't want to be exclusive. So the hiking worked out beautifully because this was something kind of new. This wasn't like something you've been doing for 10 years. It was, oh, we're doing this hiking. Who wants to come? Anyone's welcome. Easy to be inclusive. It is not always easy to be inclusive on birthday dinner. Do you want 20 people at your birthday? Do you want to be going to birthday dinners 10 times throughout the year because now you've added a lot of people? Like, there is sort of a practicality to keeping things a little tight, but then you kind of can look like a jerk. How do we handle that?
So in terms of the ritual of birthday dinners, for example, as we've gotten older, we've really come to appreciate being able to actually hear each other, making real connections is important. I think that expanding a certain group isn't always the best idea. Sometimes, as it pertains to something like the hiking group, that's a way to expand a community with an activity that's super healthy and really still fun. And it's also contributing to a little more of a standard joy than the joy you get from 12 girls going out to a birthday dinner 4 or 5 times a year. Sometimes you settle into when you have a group of 12 women and you go out to dinner and you've maybe had 3 good conversations. It's more of the, look how fun this is and look how special that we're all together. And you get a gift from the group, and every time you wear it or you use it, you get to look at it and be like, this is from the girls. There's no question that that's really special, but we're also finding just as much meaning with creating smaller groups and celebrating women being together and having quality conversation. We're seeing a lot of that. And the older I get and the more mature I get, the more I value a sober hike just as much as a fun night out at Casa Vega.
You know, I think also what you're getting at is like, how do you not hurt feelings if you have smaller groups where not everyone is invited? Believe me, I'm sure that's happening behind my back and I don't know about it and I'm fine not knowing about it. We are sensitive, especially women. I laugh because, you know, I've still friends with my high school friends and we act like we're back in high school sometimes. And I'll tell my girls, it doesn't matter. We get our feelings hurt and we do that. We'll have smaller groups get together outside of the bigger group. And we'll all say like, don't put this on social media. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I laugh because my husband just could care less. He'll be like, oh, I'm glad I wasn't invited because one less thing I know, where I'm like, really? I would have been insulted. And so, you know, it is delicate and you don't want to hurt people's feelings and you want to be included. That's where the social media thing, you just have to kind of make sure everybody's on that same page. And we do that all the time where we just say no posting.
Yeah,
no sharing.
Oh, for sure. It's kind of the dark side of the traditions and rituals. I wanted to do this topic because I think it is really important for people maintaining their friendships as they get older. And like I said, even deepening a pretty new, fresh friendship. And then there is that piece of it that if you're kind of a pleaser like I am, I like suffer with that a little bit. It almost makes it hard for me to plan things because I'm like, well, then that's not going to be something I can include everyone in. And then people are going to be upset with me. That's a silly way to live your life. It's nice to be sensitive, but you can't like not do things because someone might be upset at you.
I totally agree with that.
But so for our 50th birthdays, a big group of us, and I'm talking big group, 12 of us, planned a trip to Mexico. We had a great time, but we decided that's too many.
That's a lot. I agree.
There's too many people to travel with. Everyone had their own wants and needs. And again, there was a little bit of that high school stuff that surfaces. Mm-hmm. It's not that we don't love each other and it's fun to have meals and everything, but at a certain point, it just gets too big and you just can't really connect. So there is a little bit of an interesting fine line there.
I actually sometimes respect somebody when they'll just say to me, for example, we're going on a really big spring break for my daughter's senior year. The kids all planned it with, and it's really big. It's like, there was like a Google Doc. It's like, whoever wants to come, here's the info. Here's the horrible place we're staying. Here's the flight. But somebody who I am actually friends with said to me very, not hiding it, like, oh, a couple of us are staying after at this other place with a couple of our kids. We're not part of it, which is totally fine. I actually don't want to stay longer. But I admired her for being like, okay. They're just going to do that. And they're not asking permission. They're not hiding it. They're not being sheepish about it. And I was like, God, I want to be a little bit more like that. Not so scared to kind of just do stuff.
I support that 100%. I think what you're getting at is really important. It's about whatever you're going to do, do it with integrity. Do it with your chin up. Life is short. Time is very precious. There's dark stuff out there in the world. We need all the joy and the celebration that we can get our hands on at this point. I think we'll have good results to be honest with the people around you and being like, this is what feels right to me. And then I think people are less likely to get their feelings hurt because they know that, you know, you're doing something that is authentic.
Related to this, I hear a lot from people who are very frustrated when their kids aren't included in something. The parents kind of get in communication with each other. And this can go all the way through. And we all have kids very similar ages. This can come all the way through the prom group, the homecoming group. And then people are calling people, so-and-so wasn't invited to prom. It's like, if you are not going to let your kids see that sometimes the group isn't for them, people do things without them, the group has moved on for whatever reason, you've robbed your child who becomes an adult who can't make their own friends later. Sometimes you got to read the room and kind of know that this group isn't for me. And there are other people. I wish I could connect out. There's so many people out there who feel like there's a group happening that they're not a part of. So create your own ritual. That's what I'm saying. You're not part of the birthday group. You go find four other women who also maybe you like, who aren't a part of a birthday group and say, we're going to celebrate our birthdays this year. You have to do it yourself if you're not being included. And then you'll be part of something and you will see there will be people who will feel left out from you. And you will now be in the position where you, guess what? You don't want to have a birthday with 20 people.
And chances are those people are waiting for others to reach out to them too. So like, it's very important for you to make that happen. That's definitely one of the things I talk about when I go in and I speak to students is that you have to create it, how great it feels once you're face to face with friends, and you be the creator. Don't wait around and don't play that game where, oh, they didn't return my call, so I'm waiting for them. No, reach out again. If you feel bad about their response, then walk away. Just because they don't get back to you one time doesn't mean that you don't keep reaching out and be that Allie. Be the Julie McCoy.
Allie's going to really appreciate this episode.
Yes, Allie really is going to appreciate
this. She's carrying a lot of weight for the group. All right, ladies, I am really excited to like take cute pictures of myself with your book because it has such a fun cover. And I hope you'll come to Minneapolis. I feel like there's a little buzz around maybe, is there discussion about you coming to Minneapolis?
There are talks happening. We really, really want to make it happen.
We could cook something up really fun. Just thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
This was really fun. Thank you so much.
I know you two will agree with how I close my show, which is come back next week. When our friendships are going well, we are happier all around. Bye.
Bye.